Okay, Boker Tov to everybody. Thank you all for coming and attending Torah Yerushalayim. My name is David Katz. I have the privilege of being the CFO at OU Israel. And one of the perks we get is we get to introduce very, very, very special people when they're about to speak. So, Rabbi Ari Kahn. First of all, besides all the accolades that I will tell you about him, he's a mensch. He's a very, as a CFO, you know, we have to have interpersonal relationships with people. You didn't pay me enough. In every transaction and interpersonal relationship I have with Rabbi Kahn, he's a mensch. And that, to me, is very important. Besides that, Rabbi Ari Kahn is the director of the one-year overseas student program at Bar-Ilan, where he is also a senior lecturer in Jewish studies. He lives in Givat Zev, where he serves as the Rav of Mishkan Etrog Kihila and delivers a very popular weekly shiur at OU Israel Center on Thursdays, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? Rabbi Kahn received his rabbinic ordination, his smicha, from Yeshiva University, where he studied with the Rav, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He completed a BA in psychology and an MS in Talmud. He has authored 13 books so far. 14, excuse me, got to correct this. 14 books on Jewish thought, including a highly acclaimed Echoes of Eden series and the bestseller, The Crowns on the Letters. Without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce Rabbi Ari Kahn.
It's so interesting he spoke about being paid and so on when I don't get paid from the OU. That's what makes me a mensch. Second, I say, listen, maybe you guys can pay for parking. That's over, right? One of the things that we say a number of times over Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is, it's in source number one, it's the title, Utshuva Utfila Utzdakam Avir Netroa Hagzera. I want to, again, focus to make sure that we all understand what the issue is. These three things, Tshuva, Tefila, Tzedaka, I can ask, why? Or even more than that, not just why, what's the dynamic? Why is it that if somebody already has a quote-unquote roach zera, there already has been a decree which was given, why are these things, of all possible things in Judaism, why were those chosen? More than that, who made the choice? So this is something that we can actually spend a lot of time which we're not. I'm just going to observe it as we move by. And that is that somebody wrote what's called a piyut. Somebody wrote you can call it a poem, but it's not a poem. Somebody wrote a part of the tefillah, some point in the Middle Ages, and as of right now, it's of no concern to me. And there are various stories and legends, agadot, about who it was and what the story was behind it. And none of that concerns me. But it made its way into all of our machzorim, into a lot of our machzorim, and it made this determination that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and let's even read the words. And part of it is, I would even call, part of the most frightening part of the tefillah for a lot of us, especially in Rosh Hashanah, where the tefillah has very little to do with judgment. As a whole in Rosh Hashanah, if you're looking to somehow help your argument in terms of the judgment and getting a good judgment, there's very little. Rosh Hashanah yikatevun v'yom tzom kippur yechatemum. And those, you have the words, ketiva and chatima. We're written on Rosh Hashanah, and we are sealed on Yom Kippur. And by the way, even that is somewhat debatable. See, the thing is that sometimes whoever wrote a tefillah, who published a sidur, had an enormous amount of power to not only create what we say, but sometimes also to create what we believe. So therefore, if you were to ask, I would say lots and lots of Jews who pray, who go to shul, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when is the writing taking place? Well, that's on Rosh Hashanah. When is the sealing taking place? Well, that's on Yom Kippur. It's not as simple from the Gemara, and this precise formulation is also not necessarily exactly what we find in the Gemara. And I told you, what concerns me is the dynamic of all three, and there's one of the three which we're going to spend most of our time with. Kama yavrun v'kama yibareyun. Mi yichye u'mi yamut. Mi bikitzo u'mi lo bikitzo. Mi mamai, mi ba'esh, mi b'cherv, mi b'chaya, mi b'ra'av. And I'm not translating. bad enough in Hebrew. Umi bechanikum mi beskila mi anuach mi anua mi shaketu mi tarev mi shalev umi yasar mi ani umi asher. Who's going to get rich? That part I'll say. Umi shafel mi arum tshuva utfila utzdaka mavir n'dror gzera. On the other hand, if we were to look in the Gemara, at least in the Talmud Bavli, which is generally the Gemara that we look at, we have a slightly different formulation. If a person has received a terrible ruling, there are four things that can cause this to change, or literally to rip it up. Tzaka, tzaka, shinui hashem, yishinui ma'aseh, which means being charitable. Tzaka, screaming, which is a type of intense prayer. Shinoi Hashem is to change your name. Rishuni Maaseh is to change your behavior, which I presume that, you know, those are really close to tshuva, but it's very interesting it's written this way. The Rambam in the second chapter of tshuva, and I'm going a little quick right now, we're going to slow down soon. He uses this formulation, and source number three, Halacha Dalet, he writes, Miderkeya tshuva. Now, this is not necessarily what is tshuva. It's midarkeya tshuva. It's the path of tshuva. It seems to be something which is closely correlated with tshuva, but it's not necessarily his definition of what tshuva is. Midarkeya tshuva, among the paths of tshuva, liyot hashev tzo'ek tamid lefnei Hashem, bivchiyu v'tachnunim. That a person, the penitent, the person who's changed, they should always be praying and crying in front of God. And they should give charity as much as they can. And try to move far away from that situation whereby they sinned. And they should change their names. I'm someone else. And they should change their behavior. Everything should be now in a positive way. Following the proper paths, and he should move away from the place that he lived, because moving away from your place when you're left less comfortable and you have a little bit of a feeling of being a stranger, it's something which is could be very healthy for the person who was the former sinner, because it helps them become a little bit more modest. Now, I'll say it again. The Rambam over here, I hope you realize, he adopted what we just saw in the Gemara. And he describes this as, again, a path of tshuva. It's when I say it's not a solid formula, there's a checklist. You need to do this, this, and this, and this. These are the kinds of things that can help us in terms of changing from who we were to become something else. And I strongly suspect that most of us, even if we know people who've changed, they don't follow everything in the list over here at the Rambam. And again, that is somewhat interesting. I will say that, really, on a completely different level, that there is a necessity, I'm not speaking of God now, I'm speaking about us. During the Middle Ages, you would find occasionally, especially in Ashkenaz, where people were forced to convert. The individual is forced to convert. How do they come back home? How do you return? So, by the way, how do you return? You say to God, I'm sorry, I regret, and I'll never do this again, except for the future. Which means the formula of tshuva, you know, the Rambam wrote right before this. What tshuva is, he wrote right before this. So this is after he told us what tshuva is. He's talking about, I think, a strategy in order to stay away. But the individual certainly needs some kind of an experience. The fancy word in anthropology is a liminal experience. Okay, if that doesn't help at all. Okay, you know what subliminal is, right? So if there's a subliminal, then it would make sense that there's a liminal. Liminal is actually literally crossing over the threshold. That you've crossed over from one place to the other, that something has changed. You were outside and now you're inside and now you're outside. But really what it is, the modern Hebrew word, be a tekes. That some kind of something happened. How do you, and by the way, we need these things. Yes, when a kid is a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah, they don't need a big party. But they do need something which acknowledges that a change took place. And that's really the question, how do we acknowledge that? How do we do this? And by the way, sometimes, and I'm not getting into details now, sometimes we're very good at this, and sometimes we're very bad at this. There's lots of life changes that people go through that we don't know exactly how to commemorate them. And I'll just, again, especially if they're a little bit sad. And we'll leave that on the side for a second. But there is certainly room in order to have other expressions. The penitent, the person who left the Jewish community, I'm saying during the Middle Ages, they left and now they come back. So what do? So you'll find some sources say, oh, they need to go to the mikveh. You'll find some sources say they need to stand in front of a Beit Din as if they became a convert. How technical these things are really interesting, but you understand why the person needs to go through this experience. Now you read this Rambam again, you move, you go someplace else, you change your name. All of these things are liminal experiences in order for the person to be able to acknowledge that something has changed and something was done. And all of this is similar to our tshuva, tefillah v'tzedakah, but you all realize it's not exactly the same. The Rambam, however, in the next chapter, and over here I'm going to ask you to be a little bit more critical. This is source number 4, Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalet. And by the way, your homework for next year is to master all 10 chapters of the Rambam of Tshuva. I'm serious. The Rav writes in a footnote in Al HaTshuva, or Pinchas Peli wrote in a footnote in Al HaTshuva, that the Rav imagined, or Reb Chaim imagined, that the Rambam had 10 chapters, one for each of the 10 days of Tshuva. So that's good homework for each of the 10 days to learn another chapter. And you can do this every year. And then by next year, when we get to chapter 3, Halacha Dalet, and I ask you, well, yeah, but what's in chapter 3, Halacha Aleph, Bet, and Gimel? So that's part of what I have to tell you, because I try to limit myself to 4 pages of sources, at least for you. So I have page number 5 here, you don't. And the Rambam is dealing in Perek Gimel with judgment. He deals with judgment when a person dies. And then he makes this really interesting statement. Ukishem sheshoklin zuchuyot adam v'avonotav b'shat mitato. Similarly to the way that a person is judged upon death. By the way, that itself is very chilling, very frightening. Kach b'kol shana v'shana shoklim avonot kol achad v'achad v'vei olam im zuchuyotav b'yom tov shor shoshana. Likewise, every single person is judged on the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. And I'll say it now, there's always been a tension in Rosh Hashanah. Should it be a day of celebration or should it be a day of mourning? Is it a day that one should fast and there were customs to fast? Or is it a day that you celebrate? There's always that tension because on the one hand it's a holiday, on the other hand it's Rosh Hashanah. And over here, even to make that you know, fascinating turn of phrase, just like you judge right after you die, you judge in Rosh Hashanah. I mean, that itself should be enough to catch our attention. So essentially, Rambam says, "Mishenem tzadik nechtam l'chayim." By the way, notice didn't say written, sealed, tiva v'chatima. Not like our liturgy. You're already sealed for life. Mishenem tzarasha nechtam l'mita. They're sealed for death. V'habeinoni, and I don't know how to translate beinoni. V'habeinoni tolino to ad yom kippurim. They're held in abeyance until Yom Kippur. Now, right there, we need to pause for a second. Apparently, you don't have this. I keep telling you, you don't have this. Listen. This is like you know, like they sell books like with teachers, you know, instructions how to do it? Teacher's manual. That's what this is here. And that's what I'm saying. I kept it to 4 pages. This is page number 5. You don't have it. If you email me, I'll send you page 5 or 6 or 7, any pages you want. Now, just listen. We're all judged on Rosh Hashanah. Some people found to be righteous, Book of Life. By the way, that's all of you. Some people found to be wicked. Actually, I figured you were righteous because you came to a shir before Rosh Hashanah. But now I should be thinking, why did you all come to a shir before Rosh Hashanah? Like, what have you been doing? I mean, there's a... Okay, so I'm not so sure. So, all righteous people... That's it. They're already sealed in the Book of Life on Rosh Hashanah. Wicked people, they're sealed. But the people who are called Beinoni are held in abeyance. So the truth is, there should not be so many Beinoni in the world. I mean, most of us should take off next week. Right? Don't get up early. Don't go to Slicha. Don't stay up late. I mean, just think about it. What are the odds that you finish the year with a precise amount of good and evil and so on? It just doesn't seem to be all that compelling that that's the case. Most likely, most likely, that being a tzaddik or being a rasha are not a question of amount of good or bad, but it has to do with essence. But if he's mentioned, he didn't believe I actually learned by the Rav because he thought I looked too young. When Rabbi Nissel finished, he thought I looked too old. But I was in the Rav Shir, and I was the youngest one there the first year that I was there. And the Rav, if you would use his Briska terminology, the Beinoni is actually, it's a cheftza. It's not a gavri even. It's a cheftza. What is the cheftza? It's a cheftza which is non-determinant. It's a question of quality, not of quantity. See, actually, the problematic point is the next couple of words, and that's going to lead us into what we need to focus on. What the Rambam says right afterwards, that if you're a Beinoni, now think about it, if you're a Beinoni, you got to have a tie. All you need to do is some more good during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. So which good things should you do? So you probably have 613 choices at least, right? You have 248, if you will. Someone's going to give me a hard time. Even a rabbinic thing that you do should be good. There should be lots and lots of good that we can do. The Rambam writes, if you're a Beinoni, and I want to read the words that you don't have, so, Im asa tshuva nechtam l'chaim, vim lav nechtam l'mita. If you did tshuva, then you're sealed, then the Beinoni is sealed. He should have said, no, you could do, you break the tie, anyway you break a tie. So there were those who have argued that for the Rambam, essentially the year is over. By the way, this is brilliant. I don't think it's true, but it's brilliant. That the year's over, which means the accounting is till the end of the previous year. So you do another good deed now, it doesn't help you with the tie from last year. The only thing which can change the past is tshuva, so you need to remove bad, because doing new good is not going to help. Did that make any sense to anyone? The problem with this is the gross, not the only, I'm just using this, just picking this out because I like this one. There's a whole argument, when do you say Kiddush Levana in Tishrei? So for a lot of us, we wait for Yom Kippur to be over. It's like you have nothing else to do, right, at that particular point. For me, at least, it's like a further couple of minutes that I'm still not building the sukkah. And then my wife every year says, with great determination, we will not have a sukkah this year. We have a sukkah every year. And the smartest thing we did is have a son-in-law. Because they're much better than sons. I hope they're not going to listen to this. They're like all over it. Like all over it. And say, yeah, sure, no problem. Anyway, we always have a sukkah. But after Yom Kippur is when most people say Kiddush Levana. The Gra writes that there's a machloket about it. There's an argument. And then he says, but his custom is to do it as soon as he can because it may break the tie. So apparently the Gra thinks he can do another good deed at that point. So it's really interesting that the Rambam says tshuva, he focuses on tshuva. The other thing is interesting is going back to where we started. Where did we start, if I've lost you along the way? With the liturgy. What do we say in our tefillah? Tshuva, vitfilah, vitztaka. Where did we get these things from? The Rambam just now said, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, what does the Beinoni need to do? They need to do tshuva. That then will lead us to the source that you have in front of you. And now we're back on page 1 in source number 4, where the Rambam moves from the judgment. The last thing he had said is, the Beinoni needs to do tshuva, and now he goes full Rosh Hashanah mode on us. And the Rambam actually turns into a Bal Musar now, and he's going to give us Musar, and maybe this is the Rambam that you don't necessarily recognize. And he's actually going to say things which are not necessarily true. Don't give me a hard time for this. When I say they're not necessarily true, I mean as far as the Rambam is concerned. For me, they are. Even though blowing of the shofar is a gzeret hakatuv, which means it's something which God decreed, it's written in the Torah, and we don't know why. The Torah never tells us what is the essence of the day, what is Rosh Hashanah really about. Remez yeshbo, there's a hint. Klomar, uru yesheinim yishanatchem. Wake up. Those who've been sleeping all year, wake up. Wake up from your slumber. Again, he's trying to motivate us. The Rosh Hashanah is a wake-up call. It's an alarm clock. emet. And by the way, for the Rambam, the word emet is one of the most important words. Those who have forgotten the truth, they spent the whole year doing all kinds of things which are not really relevant, which aren't going to help and aren't going to save. Take a look inside, an internal look. Look at your souls. And fix your behaviors, and move away from those paths that you've been doing which are evil. The thoughts which are not good. Every person, now this, remember I said before, the Rambam is going to say something which isn't true? When I'm saying it's not true, you'll see why in a second. It's a strategy. It doesn't reflect what's necessarily taking place in heaven, as we're about to see, but it's a strategy of how we should all look at the world. The Rambam advises every single person all year long to look at the entire world is half good, half bad. That he, himself, all year, is right there in the middle. He's the Beinoni. The entire world is right there between good and bad, right there in the middle. If a person then, the Rambam just now said, I'm going to say it again, it's not reality, but the way you have to look at the world, that if you right now do one sin, the whole world gets blown up and destroyed. You do one mitzvah, you can save the entire world. Should I say it again, that this is not necessarily what's taking place in heaven, but it's a strategy, and we should take ourselves seriously. And we should see, in an absolutely exaggerated sense, on what one good thing we do can have impact, and what one negative thing can have negative impact. Tshuva v'atzalah shenema v'tzadik yesod olam. A tzadik is the foundation of the world. Your one action, you're that tzadik who saved the world. Your one deed saved the world. Now the Rambam didn't say it's real. He said, but that's how you need to look every day. Don't wait for Rosh Hashanah. Don't wait for Seri Yimei Tshuva. That's how you always need to look at the world. Because of this, because of what? Because of this strategic way, religious way for us to look at the world. Nagu kol bei Yisrael laharbot b'tztaka uv'masim tovim, and therefore we give a lot of tztaka. And we do good deeds. So this is really interesting, because the Rambam in the previous paragraph said that you should do tshuva. And now he's saying, but you should know you need to do lots of things. Essentially he's saying, you need to take yourself seriously. You need to understand the ripple effect of what we do. Even if it's not the case, you need to take yourself seriously. V'nogu kulam lakum b'layla basara yamim elud palel b'batei knesiyot b'divrei tachnunin u'b'kivushin ad shiyir hayom. Now, what did the Rambam just now describe? He described how what we need to do during a certain tshuva is tzedakah, we need to do tefillah, and we need to do tshuva. Which means, when I was looking for this tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, and again, my main problem was, okay, what's the dynamic? How does it work? How does it help? Why these three things? So now maybe we're a little disappointed with the Rambam, because he just now told us that they are a strategy. What's the reality? Do tshuva. But what else should we do? We should do something else. And I'm going to explain all of this in what I think is going on, both in the Tefillah and in the Rambam. Because for the Rambam, and by the way, let's admit something. The strangest out of all of the things is tzedakah. Why? Because there's lots of good deeds that we could have done. Why did it choose that one? And for the Rambam, and I'm focusing on this specifically, for the Rambam, tzedakah is not just another mitzvah. It's not just, okay, I'm doing a little bit good in the world. We're going to look at source 6 in a second, but first we'll just acknowledge that in source 5, which is Yerushalmi, it actually does say, Amar Rav Elazar, Shloshet Mivatlim Et Gzeira Kasha Ve'elu Hein, Tfila Utzdaka Utshuva. So even though I said earlier that the Bavli doesn't necessarily reflect this, there is such a passage in the Yerushalmi, which was the inspiration when that Tfila was written, which ended up in our Machzor. The Rambam, when he talks about Tzdaka in source number 6, I'll say it again, he doesn't look at it as another one of the 613. Rather, he writes, "Chayavim anu lizaher b'mitzvotai yoter mikol mitzvot aseh." You should be more careful about tzedakah than any other positive mitzvah. Shed tzedakah siman letzadik zera Avram Avinu. By the way, go back to tzadik. Because giving tzedakah is an indication that you are a descendant of Avram. Shenemar, he adaptive l'man asher yitzaveh apanav. Why was Avram chosen? God says why he was chosen. Because he's going to teach his children la'asot tzedakah, to be people who are generous people, to be people who have within them this need to help others. So therefore he's saying, tzedakah is something which is an indication of who we are. It's part of this DNA that we have. So therefore the Ram says, no, it's not just another mitzvah. And then he continues and he says, Ve'en kisei Yisrael mitzponen, and the chair, the throne of God is established. Didat ha'emet, omedet, what is it that really is the foundation of our religion? Ela bitzdaka, shenemar, bitzdaka tekonani. Ve'en Yisrael nigaalin ela bitzdaka. And the Jews will only be redeemed because of tzedakah. That means tzedakah is redemptive. And by the way, what something's redemptive, that's true on a macro level, but it's also true on a micro level. So when the Rambam chose, and we should do more tzedakah during these 10 days, I don't believe it's incidental. Now the Rambam did something else to give us a hard time. And that is in source number 7, which is chapter 7 of the Rambam in Tshuva. It is a beautiful chapter where the Rambam gets poetic about the penitent. The person who did tshuva should not think that he's far from the level of the righteous because of the sins that he did. That's not the case. He's beloved. And God cherishes him as if this person never sinned at all. Thus is the power of tshuva. He has a great deal of merit. And his reward is greater than the one who never sinned, because he tasted the forbidden fruit and was able to control their desires. And that ability to control our evil inclination, it's what's so great. And then halachachet, the Rambam writes, kol hanaviim kolam tzivu l'tshuva, all of the prophets commanded regarding tshuva, ve'ein yisrael nigalin ela b'tshuva, and the Jews will only be redeemed with tshuva. Did you notice something interesting? A minute ago I read a Rambam that said the Jews will only be redeemed because of tzedakah, and the Rambam already wrote that the Jews will only be redeemed because of tshuva. So now, again, I said, we have tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, and these are the three things we need to do. And I'm still troubled what the dynamic is. And one of the things that we've now noticed is that the Rambam thinks tzedakah is not just another mitzvah. Also, tshuva is not just another mitzvah. But tshuva, it's a prophecy. And I want to say one thing. We have around 15 minutes left, and then you're going to like hear everybody rushing off for lunch. So, and I'll try to be on time because it's the worst thing. I'll have to call you all before Yom Kippur and ask Mechila for being late and not letting you get lunch on time. And by the way, lunch won't be that good. Now I said Lashon Hara. So anyway, so let me... So this dynamic is still what's troubling me. There's a passage in the Zohar, which you don't have in front of you, that says that when God wants to punish somebody, he sends him a present, and the present is dressed up as a poor person. And therefore, if you give tzedakah, then you get saved. It's an unbelievable way of looking at that person who comes. It's a present from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? That's the language that the Zohar writes. One possible way of looking at this is to say as follows. A person's life has been a life of sin. I'm talking about a true sinner, not amateurs like most of you. So somebody who's been involved in a world of sin, and now they do tshuva. Do you know what they need? So there's a vacuum in their lives. You need to fill that vacuum, which has now, it was full of sin, you need to fill it with something which is good. Which means it's possible that the reason why the person needs to do tzedakah is you need to take the energy that you've used and now use it in a positive way. This also, you can take the same idea, maybe go a little bit deeper. Those interested more in the psychology, it could be that essentially sin comes from a place of narcissism, from self-involvement, and it could be that the way to break part of that self-involvement is in order to start caring for others. And as I said, maybe that's the reason why those two things are needed, and maybe that's also why it's connected, why tshuva and staka are two sides of the same coin, and it's to move away from the sin, and it's the language that perhaps you're more familiar with is sur mira, and then you need this aseh tov as well. I think if you were to look in source 9 and 10 and 11, you would sense what I just now said. In 9 is the Gemara with Reish Lakish, who is the most famous Baal Tshuva, who comes and says that if a person does tshuva based upon love of God, and I'm rereading the Gemara now to make it say that, Reish Lakish said, G'dola tshuva shezdonet nasa l'kizchuyot, that if you've done tshuva, then what was done deliberately becomes a merit. Shenemar uvishuv rashami rishato vasam mishpat utztaka aleihem yichyeh. The person who the Russia, the wicked, returned from their wickedness, va'asam mishpat tztaka, and now they do tztaka. So therefore, this leaving sin, doing tshuva, and then becoming somebody's tztaka, almost sounds like a natural flow, natural development. And of course, he's basing himself on a verse in Yechezkel, and if you look carefully at source 10 later, you'll see there are three different places in Yechezkel, right here in this chapter, that he makes that same observation. In 11, the Shlach HaKadosh actually says this. However, source number 12 talks about tzedakah. It's Yerushalmi. And it talks about certain people, the elders of Jerusalem, who would only accept tzedakah during the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now, to me, that's absolutely fascinating. I mean, why not accept it other days? Now, I'm going to be honest, I think that there are a whole bunch of different commentaries who will give you a whole bunch of different ways to understand this. There's a path that I want to take to explain this. If you want to read the words of 12, Mebchiyah bar Oda, it havin sabin biyom meinun, they were these elderly people in our days, mandahava yehivlun mi bein resh shata, if you would give them staka between Rosh Hashanah and Lutzoma Rabbah, until the great fast to Yom Kippur, havun nasibin, they would take it. But after Yom Kippur, they wouldn't accept it. So why specifically now? Why during these 10 days? It's not just that we have a mitzvah of giving tzedakah, it's that they actually wanted to facilitate, and they would only take, but they would only take then. So as I said, that's something which to me is a little bit more troubling. It's going to look like I'm moving a little bit laterally, because I am. Source 13, and then we're going to come right back. Source 13, again, Yerushalmi, and this is well known. Rav Chama bar Chanina, Rav Hoshea, Rav Hoshea, Chadamar, Eizo Uma Ka Uma Zot, Benoog Shba Olam. Again, this is the tension of Rosh Hashanah. Is it a day that we should be frightened and sad, fast, or should be a day of, which is celebratory? Benoog Shba Olam Adu Mudea Sheyesh Lo Din, Lovesh Shchorim, Umetatev Shchorim, Umegadel Zakano, Shein Yodea Heif Dino Yatza. In the way the world works, a person has a day of judgment, which is life and death. They are going to dress in black, and they are going to be full of mourning. Aval Yisrael einon kein. Ela lovshim levanim umetatfim levanim umegalchim zakanim vaochlim v'shotim v'tzmechim yodim shakadosh baruch hu oseh lev nisim. But the Jews, they dress in white, and we celebrate, and we eat, because we know that God will do miracles for you. And some of us will be thinking to us, why are we so optimistic? Which means, where does this optimism come from? So this dressing in white, if you look in 14, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama brings this. Yeshu chatu shenagu levosh bigadim levanim nikiyim biyom kippur. Right? I know I moved from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. It's also Rosh Hashanah, but we're not working that hard right now. Dugmat malchei hasharet. And he just now added one little thing in, and that is to be like angels. Now, it's one thing to imagine that we're tzaddikim. Maybe some of you thought we pushed a little too far. But it's quite another thing to imagine that we are angelic. This tension about Yom Kippur, is it good or bad? Sorry, about Rosh Hashanah. Is it a day to be frightened or not? Actually, I told you before that what the essence of Rosh Hashanah is not revealed in the Chumash. But there is one source in Nehemiah that tells us probably more than anything else about Rosh Hashanah. In source 15, it says, V'yasfu kol ha'am, they were all gathered together, And they took out a Torah, and they were going to read from the Torah, and at the end of Pasuk Bet, it says the date, B'yom Echad L'chodesh HaShvi'i, that they took out the Torah to read, and this was on the first day of the seventh month, that is Rosh Hashanah. They read from the book, V'yikru B'sefer Torah T'Elokim Mufurash, V'sum Sechel V'yavinu B'mikra, and they understood what it said. And then Nehemiah had to tell the people, V'yom Nehemiah Ter Shata, V'ezra Kohen HaSofer, V'levim V'vinim Ta'am L'chol Am Hayom, Kodushu L'Hashem Melokechem. Today is a holy day. Al titablu, don't mourn. V'al tifku, and don't cry. Ki bochim kol ha'am kishamam mitvrei Torah. Because all the people started to cry. Why did they start to cry? Now, presumably, you could say because maybe they recognized all their sins, or maybe they understood it was Rosh Hashanah. V'yom mer lahem, l'chu ichlu mashmanim. Go and eat fat things, right? Don't worry about the diet on Rosh Hashanah. Ushtu mam takim, and drink things which are sweet. V'shulchu manot la'in nachon lo, ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu. V'al tiatzvu ki chedvat Hashem him uzchem. Do you notice along the way, it said to send shalach manos? And some of you think this is Purim. No. Now that's really interesting. In Israel, there are lots and lots of companies that will give a shai l'chag. Yeah?
You won't get paid.
Twice, okay. That is an idea to give gifts. Over here it says to give gifts. Giving gifts, by the way, give food. Invite those people that don't have. Invite the people that are alone. Part of Rosh Hashanah is this expression of a collective. Which, by the way, really think about what tzedaka is. Tzedaka is me caring about somebody else. Okay, now we're running out of time, so I have to explain everything now. Pirkei de Drilezer, which is source number 17, which you need to read the whole thing, but we're not. But we're going to read as follows, at least this much. The angels complain that God is nice to us on Rosh Hashanah. And God says, actually, there's one more thing before that. Sorry. Take that back. Source 16 is the debate that took place on Rosh Hashanah in heaven before man was created. There were angels that said create, angels that don't create. Notice, Amr of Simon B'Shosh HaBakadosh Baruch Hu Levroot Alam Levroot Adam Rishon Nasu Malachei HaSharet Kitim Kitim V'Chavrot Chavrot Mehem Amr Al Yibra Mehem Am Yibra. Some said don't create, some create man. Hadu Dichtiv Chesed V'Emet Nifkashu Tzedek V'Shal Mashaku Chesed Omer Yibare Chesed said create Shugomel Chesedim because we are capable of doing kindness. V'Emet Omer Al Yibare. And truth said don't create because man Shakulo Shkarim, because every one of us is full of lies. Multiple times every day. Don't look at me like that. We're all completely full of lies. Do you realize now what this midrash just taught us? It said if we want to justify our existence, we need to do chesed. Because there's so many things that we fail at, but we do have the capability of being caring. So this is interesting, because again, this is Rosh Hashanah. The book of Nehemiah, it was on Rosh Hashanah that we should help out. This midrash on Rosh Hashanah we should help out. And now we talked about the Sarati Mechuva, right? Ktiva v'chatima. And I want to go back to Yom Kippur. And I want to go back to this idea of dressing in white. In the Pirkei de Belezer, which is in Source 17, it says that, we're going to go to the second half of it, Yom Kippur mechaber b'olam, where it gets bolded toward the Yom Kippur is the day that Moshe received the second luchot. Samael, or the Satan, says in front of God, Amar Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribonu Sholam, HaKol Umot Natat Li Rishut. I have permission to go against all the nations. La Yisrael, Ein Atan Notain Li Rishut. You keep protecting the Jews. Amalo, Hare, Yesh Lecha Rishut Aleim B'Yom HaKippurim, Im Yesh Lem Chet, V'im Lav, Ein Lecha Aleim Rishut. Then you can't do anything. Lefichach Notain Lo Shochad B'Yom HaKippurim, and that's the Sir Lazazel. And we'll skip, turn the page. The whole so we give the Sir Lazazel. And then what happens? Ra'as Samael, Shalon and Saba him chay piyom kippurim. Amalor ribonu shalom, yesh lecha am echad ba'aretz, ki malchei hasharet b'shamayim. The Jews are angelic. Ma malchei hasharet ein lem kfitzim, they don't have knees. Kachem Yisrael omdim al ragleim biyom kippurim. We stand on our feet. Ma malchei hasharet ein lem achila lishtiyah, they don't eat. Kach Yisrael ein lem achila lishtiyah biyom kippurim. Ma malchei hasharet nikiyim mikochet, kach Yisrael nikiyim mikochet biyom kippurim. Ma malchei hasharet shalom mitavech b'neihem, kachem Yisrael shalom mitavech b'neihem biyom kippurim. Now, I didn't translate every part of this. what this Pirkei de Lezer is saying, and it fills in that missing piece. Why do we dress in white? To look angelic. We don't eat and we don't drink, and we don't complain about not eating and drinking, and we become angelic on Yom Kippur. But did you realize that other element that it put in? The element is, you know, Ose Shalom B'Marmav. There is peace above. Why is there peace above? Because angels don't have jealousy. Angels get along with one another. Which means for Am Yisrael to be saved on Yom Kippur, we need to be unified. Now, just in case anybody thinks that I live in a different world and I live in a different country, and then sometimes after I speak, was he talking about politics? Nah. Yes, 100%. That part of success on Yom Kippur is that we are a unified nation, because God looks at us as a unified nation. I just want to come back to all the elements we started with and then to stop. Tzedakah is a way that we create unity. Rosh Hashanah is a time that we reach out to others and we try to take care of others. Why? We need to create unity. Leading up to Yom Kippur, we call people up and we ask them for forgiveness, even if we didn't do anything. And by the way, you're also allowed to call up if you did do something. But why? Because we need to create a unified people. We can't have these things. Before Yom Kippur, we need to forgive everyone who did something wrong to us and say to God, please don't punish somebody else on my account, and please, everyone else, forgive me for everything that I've done. We need to be unified before Yom Kippur. So I want to go back to these three elements, tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. In the last couple of lines here, I want to talk about tefillah for a moment. First of all, slichot. You can't say slichot and the yud gimel midot without a minyan. You need a tzibur. I'm saying that's halacha. If you want, you'll look in source 19. If you want, I'll send you another 20 sources that say the same thing. This is just totally random. Source number 20, there's a mission that says you need to daven with kavana, which sounds pretty easy, in theory at least. Okay, I need to have kavana. The Vilna Gaon writes in source 21, you know what kavana means? Kidei she'achavnu libam lavim b'shamayim, pirish, she'asur l'chaven b'tfila l'tzarech atzmo. When you pray, you're not allowed to pray for yourself. Ach l'tpalel shu kol Yisrael b'tachlit ha'shleimut, v'yed nishlam k'nesi Yisrael l'mala. Aval lo l'tzarech atzmo. You have to... Do you ever notice all the tefillah? Rifa'enu Hashem, Atachonin, Lanu. All of tefillah is in all the Amidahs in Lashon Rabim. If you have something personal you want to say it in Shema Kolein or say it in Elokai Nitzur, which is what the Gra says over here. Which means the Gra is saying, this is frightening. You've been davening Shemon Esrei all the time with great kavana, and every time you would read something in plural and think about it in singular, the Gra says you never davened. I'm sorry for saying that. The only reason I'm saying that is because when we daven, every single one of us needs to be a shliach tzibur. When we do tshuva, when we say the slichot, ashamnu, lashon rabim, bagadnu, gazalnu, dibarnu dofi, it's all in lashon rabim, it's all in the plural. Al chet shachatanu lefanecha ba'ones v'ratzon. All of the tshuva that we're doing is all in lashon rabim. Tshuva, tefillah, vitzdaka. Why these three? Because they're all about Am Yisrael. Tzedakah is that thing that can bring about redemption. Tshuva is that thing can bring about redemption. And redemption over here, I'll say it again, is not just the individual. It's talking about something which is all of Klal Yisrael and the end of history. And the Rambam says we need to believe in Am Yisrael, even though they sometimes give us reason not to believe in them, then realize that at least 50% of the problem is us. And if we have problems, we need to do whatever we can to reach out and to let others feel that we are all part of the same people. And if we can't pray that way, then we haven't been praying. If we can't reach out and do acts of chesed and acts of tzedakah, that means that we're missing something which is profound, which goes all the way back to the very reason that Avraham chose us. Tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, they're all about the community. They're all about the klal. They're not just about us. And when we're able to create a klal that can stand in front of God, unified, then we become something, then we can put on those white clothing. Then we look angelic. And then we're all sealed in a book of life. hopefully these feelings, the words that we say should penetrate our hearts, and once they penetrate our hearts, they should spread throughout the atmosphere. And hopefully all of Am Yisrael will feel the sense of brotherhood and sisterhood, and all of us will feel that we are one people, and all of us will have the Ksiva V'Chsima Tova.